The latest news, history, and analysis from the perspective of the first Christians.
Tune into the FBN, worldwide, 24/7 radio stream.
Hey everybody, great to be back with you again on another edition of the Right Bible Podcast. I'm Darren Kalama. It's a beautiful Sunday again. And just a quick reminder that this COVID has been kind of the long-running excuse and justification for locking down churches. But we may be entering a new phase of things now after the election where they don't even bother with pretenses like a common cold virus to attack Christians. So you really do need to be kind of on guard and be prepared. And one of the things that you may not see coming from left field is the fact that your digital library, your ebooks, are subject to a retroactive editing and deletion by large retailers like, and I'm not trying to single them out, but like Amazon and Apple. They can actually go back and erase or edit sections of the ebooks that you buy from them, because when you make that purchase, you're not actually buying the ebook, you're buying a license for that ebook. And they have the legal right to make changes that they deem necessary at any time. So in our show links, we have some places and some tips for you on how you can protect your digital library, ways to change its underlying formatting and structure so that you can save it on a USB stick and not have to worry about that again. Also in the show notes, we're going to have links for you for those of you justifiably concerned about this ongoing COVID hoax and the things that they're rolling out for it, like testing and masks and vaccinations. Just a reminder that the Marcionite Christian Church offers exemption forms for those. And in our show links, you'll be able to access those resources. And of course, those are all for free. That's part of the Marcionite outreach program. So it's just for your benefit and you don't have to pay for it. So we'll have those links in the show. And speaking of ebooks and paperbacks, today's show, we're going to, as promised, get into a little bit about how it was that the Old Testament even got into the Bible in the first place. And one of the good reference points to start with is going to be on page 238 of the very first Bible. That's in the reference and study guide in the back section. So page 238, if you turn there, you'll be able to follow along a little bit more coherently as we get into it. Now, one of the things that a lot of people agree on is that the addition of the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament into your modern Bible with stories of its psychopathic deity, when people read that Old Testament, it has driven untold millions of people away from Christianity, souls that are now lost forever. We'll never get those people back. So we want to get into a little bit about how did that Old Testament even get there? Because the God, the Christian God that we know, the one that was revealed to us through Christ, is nowhere to be found in the Old Testament. And of course, we know Jesus isn't anywhere to be found in the Old Testament. So to kind of make that trip, we're going to need to take a little journey back in time to a town in Greece. And the name of that town was called Nicaea. And the year was 325 AD. And at that time, to be blunt, Christianity was a complete mess. The Judaizers had done their job pretty well by that point. Even some of the big names in early Christianity were celebrating Easter on Saturdays, and they were basing the day on Jewish interpretation of the lunar cycles. Now, at this point, you had factions, sects, offshoots, and breakaway churches scattered across the Roman Empire, literally across the known world. And they were all poisoned by the faith and customs of an alien religion and deity. Some were even falsely preaching that circumcision was necessary to be saved. Now, standing against all of this chaos and confusion and false gospels was the largest group of organized Christians with a coherent faith and dogma, with the very first Bible as the bedrock of their faith, and they were the Marcionites. The Marcionites had millions of followers and were much larger than the Church of Rome that was established by Peter, who, at one time had also been a Judaizer before being corrected by the Apostle Paul. And later that church would become the Roman Catholic Church, as we're going to see later in our episode today. Now, the Marcionites also had lots of enemies, powerful and well-financed enemies, that hated them for rejecting the Hebrew Bible, or, as you know it, the Old Testament. And they came to the obvious conclusion that our Christian God was not the same as the psychotic carnal deity that's portrayed in the Old Testament. Now, unlike the Marcionites, the Romans didn't have a Jewish problem at all. They had just crushed two rebellions, one in 70 AD in Jerusalem, and another with finality and extreme prejudice in 135 AD, even going so far as to literally salt the earth, to plow salt into the earth. They had had quite enough of the Jewish rebellion. Now, the Hebrews had rolled the dice with yet another in a long line of false messiahs, and Rome really made them pay. And on a historical side note, it was during this period that the Hebrews invented terrorism as a tool of war. It's the first time we've heard of it. And the Romans suffered heavy casualties as they learned to counteract this new technique of resistance. And ultimately, we know they prevailed. In fact, you can still find the coins that they minted in celebration with the words Judea Capta, Judea Divicta, which means Judea captured, Judea conquered. The Arch of Titus, you may have heard of, that also commemorates their hard-fought victory over rebellion and terrorism of the time. And with the memory of these Jewish rebellions still fresh on their minds and a growing group of Christians quickly becoming restless, the Roman Emperor Constantine devised a brilliant plan that would unite the divided young church under one roof while at the same time making Rome's Jewish problem someone else's problem. And he called it the Council of Nicaea. And Constantine, by the way, was a pagan. He was a devoted worshiper of the Roman sun god Sol Invictus. And he was so devoted, in fact, that he had coins minted with his profile on one side and the image of the sun god on the other. Minted, in fact, even as the Council of Nicaea was in session in 325 AD. Now, the Council of Nicaea codified Christianity, and it set the framework for a new Christian Bible with the Gospel of the Lord that we know, replaced by the four Gospels that you're familiar with, and it would also contain a Hebrew Bible renamed to the Old Testament. Now, the Marcionites, the largest organized group of Christians on earth at the time and keepers of the very first Bible, were not invited to the Council of Nicaea. We find that Pope Sylvester I was also absent from the proceedings. And of the 1,800 bishops under Roman rule, 300 were selected to be on the council. But they were instructed that failure to agree with any pronouncements that were to be issued in the name of the council would be met with exile from the Roman Empire. And at the end of the council, three ran afoul of Constantine's wishes: Arius, Theonas of Marmarica, and Secundus of Ptolemy. Arius's teachings were declared as heretical, and his books were burned, just as they would soon burn the first Bible. And by the way, Arius himself was exiled by the emperor to Illyria. Now, one of the things you'll notice, if you do an internet search on the Council of Nicaea, you'll notice that all the top results loudly proclaim that no Bible was created at the council. But yet we find in history books, we see that Constantine ordered 50 Bibles created right after the council ended. And remember, at this point in time, there was only the Bible that the Marcionites were using, the very first Christian Bible, prior to Nicaea. So really the only question is, which codex was called this new Bible? There were two codexes, and that's really the only argument that historians have, is which one of those codexes was part and parcel of the 50 Bibles ordered by Constantine. But it's kind of a moot point in terms of an argument, because both of the codexes in question, they both contained the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. So, in one stunning move, in one fell swoop, Constantine had merged the divided Christians under one roof, solved the empire's Jewish problem, and also merged that Christian roof into the Roman Empire, blending church and state. Now, as a pragmatist, as an outside observer, it's actually hard to argue with the outcome, because the Christians now had the full protection of the Roman Empire. No more persecutions and being fed to lions. So it looked like a pretty good deal. But it wasn't such a good deal for the Marcionites in their first Bible. They would now be labeled as heretics, and the true Bible with its 10 books and Gospel of the Lord would be hunted down and burned. Also, by decree, Constantine ordered that all of the Marcionite churches be handed over to the Catholics. What this means is that Constantine and his pagan street corner hustle had effectively ended their ministry and codified an alien Hebrew deity into a new Bible. Now, 50 years later, in 382 AD, the newly minted Roman Catholic Church announced the unveiling of its new Bible, and it looked very similar to one of the 50 Bibles that were issued by Constantine some 50 years earlier. Now, in this new Catholic Bible, there were 46 books for the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. There were 27 books for the New Testament, for a total of 73 books with four different Gospels. Most, by the way, of those Gospels contain snippets and pieces of the original Gospel of the Lord, but they had been redesigned and weaved in such a way as to give Christ an imaginary Jewish backstory. And by the way, less than 3% of the words in your modern Bible are actually attributed to Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians, we know Jesus meant for his salvation to be universal, for the whole world, not just for a special race of people. But some people are prideful and greedy, and they want ownership of it. They want authorship of it. They want control over its narrative. And in the next episode of the Right Bible Podcast, we're going to look at how the Gospels were edited by the Judaizers to achieve just that goal. And when you contrast and compare the original Gospel of the Lord to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll immediately see how they did it, and you'll see where they did it. And we're going to have a link in the show notes so you can download a free copy of the very first Bible, and hopefully that'll help you kind of break away from internalizing the commands of your oppressors, as it were. And just to wrap it up, you'll notice on this show we don't, you know, bombard you with endless advertisements or heartfelt pleas for donations. But if you'd like to show your appreciation for the content, all you have to do is like, share, subscribe on the podcast or the YouTube channel. And it's especially helpful, by the way, if you just leave a quick review. People love to read those, and it helps guide them towards better content. So we would appreciate that. Also, if you'd like to pick up the paperback version of the very first Bible, just go to Amazon, type in the four words, the very first Bible, or click on the show links at the bottom of the page. And with that, we'll see you next time on the Right Bible Podcast.